FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of This Club Is My Club, right here on North Manchester 106.6 FM and in podcast form on the FC United of Manchester podcast page. And joining me here in the past on a Tuesday night ahead of the Bury game. What? This doesn't make any sense. But here to make sense of it all, it's Woodzo.
Make sense of it all? That's never going
to
happen.
Now, we're doing this little intro bit to this week's show because I didn't make the trip to Jersey at the weekend. And you are?
I am.
Yeah?
I did.
First section of This Club Is My Club this week, we'll be bringing you the highlights of the Bury match from Tuesday here at Broadhurst Park. Bright sunshine here, beautiful evening, and taking on a fellow fan-owned club.
Mm.
You know, a lot of friendship here between these two clubs, and hopefully a good evening will be had by all, and we'll be bringing you all the highlights shortly. But Woodzo, we've got you on just to talk about this coming week, because Neil's got a bit of a juggling act going on, because he said in his post-match interview on Saturday that he's not got as many players going as he'd like to Jersey.
Oh, right. Okay.
So he's having to juggle the squad because they're playing two matches in 2 days.
Right, two.
So today we're going to have a bit of a different squad to that's going to be going making the trip to Jersey. It'll all become clear. What are you expecting from the next three matches for FC United?
He's not bringing some of the old boys back tonight, is he? Is it a different squad? What am I expecting from these three matches? I mean, Jersey is difficult to quantify at the moment because I don't really know too much about. Although, I was at the cricket yesterday, Monday, whichever day we're on now, at Lancashire, at Southport. I was talking to a fella who sat next to me, and his local club is Cray Wanderers. Oh. Coincidentally, so we had a bit of a chat about Jersey and stuff. I mean, this game tonight, the Bury game, will be. I mean, it was tough last year. We needed a lot of them. If I recall, we drew 1-1 last pre-season, but I believe a certain Mr. Greaves nearly scored the winner right at the end, if I remember rightly. So it'll be a tough game. But they've got new players, and I think they'll have a few trialists involved. So it'll be certainly difficult to judge this season to last season's, because obviously they're a different squad. We've got different squads. Potentially they're going to have a big following. I mean, dare I say that they may have more fans in than we might. You never know. But it'll be a tough game. The weekend, like I said, I don't know much about Cray and Jersey. And I suppose, like you said, 2 in 2 days, depending on the makeup of the squad. And, you know, we could go away and win easily against Cray and it'd be 5-0 and then we're okay for Sunday. Or it could be a really tight, tense game. And you know, the players have put everything into it, and with the weather as well, it's going to be very warm, particularly on Sunday. Yeah, I mean, hopefully they'll come back with another trophy. So not only will we are the champions of Europe, we are the champions of Jersey. You know.
Do you think it's handy for obviously? I think it would have been better if we had those senior a few more senior players making the trip. But do you reckon it's handy that? You know, a couple of weeks ago, ahead of the Fulwood game, we were talking about how, you know, together this squad feels, even though it's a relatively new squad. Trips like this, far away trips, like that Brighton trip a couple of years ago, it helps, doesn't it, putting the squad together?
Absolutely. And, you know, depending on what the makeup is, like you say, over the weekend, you know, it's not going to have any harm on who it is, to be fair. Let's be honest, you know. A nucleus of the squad that he's looking to bring in general. And that, you know, because it will help, like you say, it does. They travel to on a plane together, staying over, you know. It can only help, you know. And don't forget as well, it might actually work in our favour, because it being off from last summer, you know, we've got new players to bed in, as opposed to have a certain, you know, a squad almost, you know, in place like we had pretty much last year.
And then all eyes, really, I mean, we'll find out later in the show how it all went. But it's all heading towards the game which really I think does stand out, and the one that Neil, I think, is that's when it's starting to bed in what this season's going to look like. Doncaster Rovers.
Doncaster week of Saturday, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So after Jersey, we've just got the Ashton Athletic friendly before that, and like you say, that seems to be the game he's targeted to be a bit more fixed in his squad, which is fair enough, because then you've got 5 friendlies still with a squad that you think is going to go into the season. So it's a good idea. I mean, I'll be honest with you. And I know, you know, we interviewed him at Fulwood and also at Longridge, and certainly at Fulwood that was the first pre-season, and he said, you know, I'm up, you know, I'm looking to Whitley by a couple. I'm struggling to see what he's going to do with that, because from the looks of the squad that we've got, apart from, you know, an out and out striker which we know about, we've got a squad there that it's difficult to say, well, actually, no, he might drop out. Well, actually, no, he might drop out. No,
I don't know whether
that'll happen, to be honest.
It's early days. It's got three games left before this show actually goes out. But I'm thinking, you know, there's players who, long-established players, especially in the midfield. I'm looking at McGee. I'm looking at Griffiths. They've got fire on their hands, haven't they?
Yes. The midfield is the one. The midfield is the one where you look at the squad and you think, where's he going to pick that? You know, I mean, the other week I sort of sat there in my head. I thought, putting 11 together. Like you say, it's early anyway. But you know, after the first couple of friendlies, you can't do it at the minute. Certainly can't do it at the minute, because, like you say, you know, he's looking to maybe whittle it down by a couple. Like I say, I'm not convinced that that'll be a major thing. But it's who's going to play, because, like you say, that midfield, you've got Smith, you've got Ennis, you've got Griffiths, you've got McGee, you've got Donoghue. There's five there straight away, just for a central midfield role, as opposed to, you know, before you even start looking at attacking players like, you know, wider players, Linney Andertons and Miekos, and, you know, we class them as midfield, but you know what I mean, the attacking players. Woolerton, Murray.
Yeah.
So you've got seven midfielders there. That's his big conundrum there. And to be honest with you, looking at the pre-season, oh, Vincent, that's eight, we've got a bit of Vincent.
Yeah.
You know, so looking at the squad as it is, that midfield, that's probably where you're going to be looking at players to, if he's going to cull. Having said that, I think all the players we've named there have all made a mark so far in pre-season. My only caveat to that is, a lot of them I do think are similar. I think Murray, Woolerton, maybe even McGee, to a certain extent, although he played wide on Saturday, didn't he? Mm-hmm. But very, very similar type of players.
Don't forget McGee, I think, had his best game playing 10.
He did a very good game there, didn't he? So he might be able to play a bit. But then Jonathan Smith's been playing that forward, as we've noted. I do think, you know, that's not to do any other midfield. I think the new lads have all bedded in quite well and made an impression already. But maybe the decision will be, are they all much for muchness? And in its case, which ones have been better than the others, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's going to be the hotbed of... The forwards will probably pick themselves in terms of Linney, Anderton, Mayeko, probably, like you say, whoever plays at number 10, whether it be McGee, Smith even, Donoghue, Ennis. He's got tough choices to make. And it's not just about... We were talking on Saturday, weren't we? And we were saying, you know, we're in five competitions next year. You've got the league, you've got the trophy, you've got the FA Cup, you've got the Manchester Cup, you've got the Phoenix. You'd like to think, and we know this is probably not going to happen, you'd like to think that you could keep that squad of players happy over five tournaments. But you know as well as I do that if he's got a squad of 20, it's going to be, you know, three or four, well, before every week, who aren't even on the bench, they'll be sat in the stand with a tracksuit on.
Well, that was our chat before the Bury match. Let's now find out what happened on Tuesday night in the match here at Broadhurst Park against Bury, and then later on, me and thee will catch up straight after those two matches in the Channel Islands.
Absolutely.
That'd be nice, won't it?
Absolutely.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome back to FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. And you join us here back in North Manchester for midweek friendly. It's FC United of Manchester against Bury. Here at Broadhurst Park, sunny Broadhurst Park, and joining me here to just add more brightness and daylight to your Tuesday evening, it's Stato Paul. Hello, Paul.
Good evening.
How are you?
Fine. So, looking forward to a goal tonight.
You reckon?
Yeah, we're going to see a goal.
That is a Stato Paul guarantee. When was the last time we had back-to-back 0-0 draws, Paul? In a friendly?
In a friendly.
In friendlies?
I don't think we've ever had back-to-back 0-0 draws in friendlies, ever.
Let's hope. History's not in the making this evening.
We'll have to have a penalty shootout if we have to, but something's got to happen.
Now, just remind me, Paul, because we played Bury last year, didn't we, in a pre-season friendly. How did that game go?
Well, it was going really well until the final seconds when Tom Greaves equalised.
Oh.
But there's no Tom Greaves tonight because he's moved on to pastures new. So,
Fackley.
Yes. But, Bury are obviously a high-flying club these days in non-league circles, and... I noticed they've got three ex-Curzon players in the starting lineup: Jonathan Hunt, Chris Rowney and Neil Cummins. So they'll be coming here with big expectations, I think.
Well, this game is live on FC Radio. However, we are streaming the game. Head over to FC United's Twitter feed, Facebook page, the main website. Log on to Speedio and book yourself a ticket for £4 to watch tonight's game live as it happens. James Quinn is right on my right-hand side here, looking ever so sharp, and he'll be joined tonight by the one, the only, Mr. Charlie Ennis. So I'm expecting a good first half commentary from him, and then popping up for a last minute penalty from Charlie tonight.
Is he going to be taking the set pieces then from James?
I believe so, yes. So Charlie Ennis in the first half. We are going to have a second half substitution for the TV commentary. Not sure who that will be. What do you reckon for tonight, Paul? People have been saying, what about number nine? What about number nine? Well, tonight we've got number 11, a new signing. Max McCarthy joins us, we believe, from Stoke under-23s. So, thoughts?
We know that Renault's looking for a goal scorer, and it's not a secret. And there'll be a few auditions, I expect, in the next few weeks. And Max McCarthy will be tonight's star, if you like. Obviously, if he shows a bit of potential, who knows, he could end up as a permanent signing. But I think the moment Regan Linney walked off the pitch on Saturday, the goal threat seemed to go with him in the main, I think.
Yeah.
Lots of lovely approach play, and there's plenty of players, creative players, to load the gun, but maybe it's Max McCarthy who's the man to do it, who knows.
Now, one player who has been impressing this past week is Guy Hall. He starts at left back.
He's come from nowhere.
He has come from nowhere.
He certainly wasn't on the radar, was he, in terms of a player that was going to be up and coming.
But you can watch the highlights back now on SCM TV on the YouTube channel, and you know he's involved in that second half. He's having a shot on goal. He's creating stuff.
I thought he did well. Yeah, I'm also pleased that Tom Murray's getting a start tonight, because I think his industry is very important to us maybe next season.
Absolutely. So Tom Murray starts, as does Guy Hall. Clive Smith at right back. Dan Lavercombe is back. Willen is on the substitutes bench. He had a good game, Willen.
We are looking for
a number two, aren't we? So,
well, obviously he's got Ryan Hamer, who's
who, believe he's keeping his options open, I believe is the phrase.
That's probably the reason why.
Which is fair enough. So
probably the reason why we are looking around in case of eventualities then. And Palinka's got half a game on Saturday and looked very good. Tonight he's going with Taylor and Jones at the back, who did quite well together on Saturday when they got 45 minutes. But like it's been said, last season wasn't the problem scoring goals, it was shedding goals really. So we need a tighter defence, and maybe the change of style that we're looking at now will lead to that.
The other thing we have to mention, obviously Taylor and Jones at centre back, Smith and Hall central midfield, Murray, James Vincent is the skipper for this opening bit of this game against Berra. Eddie Mieko, who hit the post on Saturday.
He's a bag of tricks, isn't he?
He's a bag of tricks. But with Mieko, Wallerton and Anderson, in a way, it was all about hit it a bit sooner. But this is what you get in pre-season. I mean, a lot of people are saying we're having trouble scoring. We scored 6 goals in 3 games, so I don't, and conceded 2. So I don't necessarily think it's been that alarming at the moment.
No, 3 pre-season. Blank sheets would be worrying, but I think there's lessons to be learnt from all the games we've played so far. I think Saturday's was possibly shoot on sight a bit more. Work the goalkeeper and see what he's made of.
Well, it's FC United against Bury tonight, and we did have, I think, Daniels and Greaves here last year, didn't we?
Yes, it was an old boys network, wasn't it?
There's no old boys in this lineup, is there,
I don't think so.
But it's good to have Bury AFC back, especially during a period where hopefully something will happen and they can get back to Gig Lane. I mean, that'd be ideal, wouldn't it?
But they belong there, don't they? Whatever the playing lineup is, Bury should be at Gig Lane somewhere or other. We've got very fond memories of Gig Lane over many years, and obviously we wish him well, apart from tonight, of course.
Absolutely. So FC United starting 11. It's Lavercombe, Smith, Hall, Murray, Taylor, Jones, Wallerton, Vincent, Linney, Mieko and Max McCarthy, who will be keeping an eye on during this game. Loads of substitutes for FC United. Askew, Ennis, McGee, Switters, Anderton, Humphries, Palinkas, DeSantis and Willen, who's the substitute goalkeeper. For Bury, and Bury do have their own commentary team, so I don't even know why I'm doing this, but you're more than welcome if you fancy hearing what we're talking about here on the other side of the fence. It's Atkinson, Williams, Kenny, Sixsmith, Hunt, Moore, Gilboy, Rowney, Cummins, Brazel and Ahmed. And substitutes, it's Wharton, Chris Holt, McWilliam, O'Brien, Schofield, Medevitt, Denham, Fannin and Orr. And we should say, we've got the streaming now to the Banbury game. The good news is James will be back for that game with Swamper. So
the big guns.
Jeez, that's when we know pre-season's nearly over, isn't it?
And I actually forgot that Bury do have an old boy on the touchline.
Tell us more.
The manager.
Tell us more. Oh, it's Welsh. Isn't
Andy
it?
Welsh, yes.
Andy Welsh.
Yes.
See that, dear listener? I hadn't done my research, but I just dug that out of my brain somewhere to rescue my non-league credentials. Andy there Welsh, of course.
Yes.
Who is an old boy. Played left wing. And scored, for Sunderland.
Scored, yes, he was at Sunderland. Yes. He did score one goal for us at Bowerfelder, I seem to remember. Quite a spectacular one many moons ago.
But we're waiting for FC United to come out. Like we said, you can now watch the highlights from Saturday, available on FCM TV's YouTube channel. Incidentally, I've been sitting on the Hyde United highlights for a long time. I was waiting for some good news to come out, and the best I could come up with was a 0-0 draw against Bootle. So
I thought you were saying you were waiting for a disc fail.
We've now caught up and we've started afresh. It's a new blank slate. The 22-23 season has started now on YouTube. Hopefully, highlights galore now.
Well, we're not just good timers at FC. We have to deal with the bad as well, don't we?
Oh, my goodness, not half. Well, both teams now coming out onto the pitch. And like I said, you can watch the game live on our Speedio page. So head over to the FC United Twitter feed and Facebook page and the club website for more details. £4 just to watch this. And you'll have James Quinn and Charlie Ennis commentating on that game, which is better than us.
Well, yeah. Say,
no disrespect, Paul. We know our place, don't we?
Well, you know. Yeah. We tough it out, don't we?
We do.
Long ball into the box there. It's a good cross, Lavicum. And, well, the referee's not blown his whistle. And
I think he has.
No, he hasn't. You know he's given the goal.
It looked to me as if he had.
Well, that's extraordinary. It was the ball into the
box.
I can't
believe he's given that.
And it looked like Lavicum was impeded there
He was definitely blocked off. He jumped for the ball, the player made contact with him.
He made contact. Well, this is it.
And as soon as you do that, these days, it's a free kick. I just do not understand how he's allowed that to go on.
Well, guess what, everyone? We can watch it back on here when it eventually catches up.
Followed him to the centre circle. He's so angry.
But I'm pretty sure that what we'll see in the replay of this is
contact is made. I'm sure.
Me and James looking in now. Hopefully, I'm not impacting it. And it comes.
It's not Nat Loftus, but it's still a foul.
I mean, Lavicum does spill it, but
yeah,
the player is jumping into Lavicum to make him spill it.
He's not jumping for the ball.
No, I'm all for goalkeepers as a protected species and all that.
Yeah.
But the player didn't win a header there.
That's a clear foul.
That would have been a foul against an outfield player.
Yeah.
So
I think if we'd scored from the other end like that, we would have felt a bit guilty about it.
Well, it's 1-0.
I did promise you a goal, but not that one.
It's a throw-in to FC United. Smith takes it. Oh, it's a long throw-in from Smith. A very long throw-in towards the back post. There's Vincent Shirley. And it's a headed goal 1 yard out there from Alex Wallerton. And,
it was coming.
Not since Tong have I seen a long throw from an FC United team.
That
and there was
Clive
Smith
throw.
With a long throw. And it perplexed Bury's defence. There was Vincent and Wallerton. Ended up finishing it in the net, and FC United 13 minutes played here, and it's one apiece. Mieko with this corner. Oh, that's a great ball into the back post. Superb stuff. And there on the back post was Taylor. And Taylor there, dare I say it, letting his Blackburn Rovers route show. Bit of an Alan Shearer celebration there, Paul, if
yeah,
you don't mind me saying.
And I think that's his first goal for us, even though it's a friendly. But it was Shearer-esque, really. It was a brute force at the back post, wasn't it?
Great ball in from Mieko, though, on that corner, wasn't it?
Yeah.
26 minutes played here at Broadhurst Park. The score is now 2-1, and it kind of mirrors, well, not with the timings, obviously, but it mirrors what happened last week against Longridge. Longridge taking the lead early doors. SC United winning in the end by 2-1. But long way to go in this game yet, Paul.
We're sharpening up on the set pieces, apparently.
Well, here's Mieko now. Mieko riding the challenges and doing brilliantly. Plays the ball out to the left hand side there to Hall. Hall on the left hand side of the box. There's McCarthy. Good save by Atkinson. But this is good stuff, Paul.
Yeah, unfortunately, rebounded back off him, so it's going out for a goal kick. But good play by Mayeko, and the ball in as well from Guy Hall was a good one, and it was a good opportunity there for McCarthy, stealing in at the near post. Just couldn't beat the keeper.
Here's Cummins now. Cummins just wide, and well, the referee is pointing to the penalty spot. He's given a penalty. Well, the ball broke to Cummins. Cummins shot, and as he shot, I think Taylor was sliding in to stop him from shooting.
But he did get the shot man. In.
He did get the shot in, and well, I'm not too sure about that, Paul. Don't get given.
Normally, you don't get two chances with that kind of situation. If you get the shot in and it goes wide, you don't get a penalty, do you? That's it. It's goal kick. Lavercombe again complaining to the referee.
I think rightfully so, but well,
more controversy in this game.
FC United passing themselves into trouble there, but it's a penalty to Berry.
Oh, and
Lavercombe saves it. Great save down to his right
there. There you go.
It was Harry Brazel with the penalty. Justice done, Paul. I was about to say that. Jones plays the ball through. Vincent wins the ball back. Vincent out to the right hand side is Wallerton. It opens up for Wallerton a bit. Oh, he's gone. Oh, well, there you go. That's the right ball from Wallerton across the goalkeeper. All the goalkeeper can do is palm it, essentially. And there was Mieko following up, and right on the stroke of half time, Paul, it's 3-1.
That was a very, very well constructed. Vincent instrumental in that, winning the ball in the middle of the pitch, spraying it out wide at just the right angle for Wallerton, and then Mieko did the rest as the ball came back off the keeper. Vincent is a very dominant figure in the middle of the park.
And now Berry trying to pass that way out and succeeding. Good stuff down the left hand side now with O'Brien for the visitors. O'Brien looking to take on Taylor. O'Brien keeps the ball. That's a good ball to the back post. And there was Brazel there to nod in. And that was a good counter from Berry and a good goal. 3-2, Paul. 61 minutes played.
Well, he missed the penalty, but he didn't miss his chance there at the far post unmarked. I'm afraid the defending was a bit sloppy on that one.
Here's Ennis now. Ennis to Humphries. Humphries now. Good ball to find Mieko. Mieko's onside. Into the penalty area. Defender slips. Another defender slides in. Mieko stays on his feet. Slots it to the far post. And on 73 minutes, Mieko scores again, Paul.
That was a silky left foot finish into the far corner. I thought going with his left foot, he may have missed it. It may have been dragged wide, but he's found the far post, and FC now 4-2 up. But lovely bit of football. The pass itself was a gem inside the last defender, and once he got the ball, he jinked his way past the challenge, and then it was game up.
Good stuff from Mieko. 4-2 the score, and I said it earlier, I think he's starting to enjoy himself in a red shirt. That is full time here at Broadhurst Park. 4-2 the final score. Paul, that was an enjoyable evening.
Yeah, it was a very entertaining game, and I know there was some comments about Saturday's match not being a thriller, but I think tonight you've seen two sides who've come out and tried to play it the right way. Both sides playing very aggressively and purposeful, and we've seen six goals, and it could have been many more. I think Renault will be pleased with his, certainly with the first half performance. I think that was really good. I think the second half, it because of the number of changes, it lost the thread a bit, but some good individual performances tonight.
When we talk about the individual performances, I enjoyed Palinkas in that second half. Clive Smith had a very good game, but I think Eddie Mieko is the one where we've gone, you know what, welcome Mieko to FC tonight.
We needed some firepower up front, and it looks like we're beginning to get there in terms of build-up play and skill. Mieko is full of skill, there's no doubt whatsoever. I like Wollerton's contribution, taking on players down the right-hand side. I think Murray and Vincent look very solid in the middle. Good ball-winning skills.
Well, welcome, James. That was a good performance from FC United. Particularly, we've singled out Mieko, really, as, wow, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot of skill. It wasn't quite coming off for him, I felt, on Saturday, but it did tonight. But also, he was doing a bit of tracking back and tackling and winning the ball. So we were discussing on the stream commentary there, if everyone stays fit, then he you know, Neil Reynolds is going to have the right kind of selection headache, because the midfield, you know, when you think the players who weren't here, then, you know, and there's players coming in, like Murray, I think, looks good, and Palinkas coming in defence looks pretty assured to me. How long ago did he leave the academy?
3 years.
Three years ago.
Yeah.
So I mean, we were saying, you know, that challenge from Wharton where he elbowed him, then pushed him off the ball. Obviously, if it was a competitive match, we'd be standing up in a normal game. However, during pre-season, that's quite handy for Palinkas. It's like, this is what you're going to get every week in the MPL. Yeah. Get used to it. So having support with Ben Wharton like he did in that second half, he grew into it, didn't he? He got elbowed once and pushed off the ball. It never happened again.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, well, he looks to have... he looks quite an assured defender. I mean, he probably won't get the nod as first choice with Halls coming back in and Taylor looking ever so good. You know, that what Neil said on Saturday about, you know, if you're doing well in pre-season, you get the shirt.
And we've got a long throw delivery now.
Yeah, Smith. And yes,
that was a surprising thing. There were three great goals, unusual FC United goals in the first half. A long throw, a corner, and following up on a rebound. These are three goals that we don't score normally. And we've had it all in that second half of the first half tonight.
Yes, I think so. And a very unlucky, really, with decision with that penalty.
No way on earth that's a penalty. It's not even a goal, though, is it?
Well, we said on the stream commentary it was obviously a tribute to the 1958 FA Cup final. Not quite the thuggery that was meted out to Wood, FC's keeper, but a foul nonetheless. Just can't believe that'd be given in a competitive match. Penalty was pretty dubious, but Lavercombe saved that. But just the defence going slightly AWOL on the far post for a goal. Nice run in, though, from Brazil. But generally doing everything you would hope for.
Neil, that was an enjoyable game of football. What did you make of it?
Scintillating 60 minutes. Then we had to make a raft of changes, and you know that was difficult because obviously when you make one or two changes, it's easier to fit your way into the game. But when you're making seven or eight, it's difficult. And you know, even though the lads, you know, run around and work last 20 minutes, you can see we dropped the quality. But I thought some of the things we did tonight, you know, that's on sixth session, another four goals. Yeah, really pleased with the way that we're adapting with the style of play and the individuals who have come into the camp.
Is that game we've just seen there welcome to FC United, Eddie Mieko?
You know, people didn't know him. There's a lot for me to get out of Eddie Mieko, but you can see tonight he's a wonderful talent and he's surely going to be a hit down here. And I've just said to the lads in there, sometimes you've got to unlock your own kind of ignition. You know, you can't have me doing it all the time. I spoke to Eddie before the game and he's a person that people will come and pay money for, but I want to see him doing it 90 minutes a game, and you've seen him tonight. He's got everything you want to see in a footballer, and if we can unlock the other side of him, I'm sure he's going to have a really spectacular season here.
Now, after the Bootle match, I said to you, because I could see the forum posts being posted as I was speaking, oh, we need a number nine and all this. Now, it's early days, but we've just scored four goals in a game. Is it a coincidence that Max McCarthy is there?
We'll still need a number nine, won't we?
We still need a number. He's wearing number 11. You're just playing games there, aren't
listen,
you?
Listen, the beautiful thing about football, it's about opinions, isn't it? And, you know, people are going to voice their opinions, but, you know, when you stand down there, it's a different kettle of fish, and sometimes I listen and sometimes I don't. Do we need a number nine? Yes, I've not hidden that. You know, is it easy to find one? No, it's not. People say we need a Tundy, but I found the Tundy. You know, we moved on to Kurt Willoughby. You know, an Elliot Smalls with an attacking play. We'll go and find a Regan Linney like we've done. We'll find a Max McCarthy. We'll find a Jack Amberton and Eddie Mieko. The players are out there. So, you know, don't panic, Mr. Mannering, people say. You know, just trust the process. You know, it's not the start of the season yet. We've got a lot of work to do between now and then. You know, we're hopeful that we can do something with Max. You know, he's a good presence. He brings people into play. It's his first time he met the lads tonight. But he does. It gives us another option. It allows you to let Linney, you know, Mieko. I thought Woolerton was incredible again tonight.
Yes.
So you know, it gives us loads of options at the top end of the pitch. But we're nowhere near finished yet. We're always looking to better ourselves. For us, it's four games into pre-season, four games unbeaten, another four goals scored. So we're happy with it.
Those three seem to be enjoying themselves up front. Especially obviously towards the end of that first half.
I thought some of the movements, you know, the amount of times that we came out left into middle of the park, came out right, Clive Smith, Woolerton, played into Mieko. You know, we got some really good what I call patterns off, and it was good. It was really good to see, but we've only had two training sessions on the pitch. The other have been games, so you know they're going to get used to it. Clive just said to me, you know, he come off at half time, Benet Gaffer, and I said, you usually do 25 of them, ask Donners and ask Doddy. You know, he did 6 or 7 first half, so you know people are going to get used to it. But it is pleasing. But you know, Ben, you're not always going to play on a carpet like this, and what we've got to do is learn to adapt when we go to other places in our division. So you know that's where, if you will, the next plan will come into it. But you know, it's nice when we play at home, and it's nice to brand that style of football.
Let's just talk about Chris Taylor. I mean, there is matters arising from his goal celebration. I know he's Blackburn Rovers and all that, but there was a hint of Alan Shearer, wasn't there, for a moment or two? But he's had a good game there at centre back, hasn't he? I mean, is he putting himself in contention here?
Crazy, that's what we call him. You know, he was a right winger by trade, and you've seen his delivery on Saturday that he put in, but he's such a competent footballer. He's brilliant around the lads. I'm obviously working with him day to day now in the academy. He's everything that you want around a football club, and he can play as well. And that's where Andy Hall's tonight. So I'll say that the quartet of Jones, Palinkas, Taylor's put himself in there now, and Halls, you're playing 2 from 4, and then you know your fullback areas, you've got your Guy Halls, your Josh Askews, your Clive Smith, your Curtis O'Beng, so there's competition in the back line.
Are you looking forward to that first competitive game in August? Because I don't know how you're going to cope with this, to
that's
be honest.
Right, things like that. Listen, I always sleep easy. I've said to the lads, listen, you'll do what you do between now and the and now and pre-season. If you've done enough, you'll be in the 16. And if you haven't, you know, we shake hands, say hello. People won't make it, you know, into the squad maybe next week's game. They'll be released before then. But we're not going to fall out with everybody. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. And, you know, the lads will know, come the start of the season, have they done enough to get in that first 11 or first 16? And, you know, at the minute we're 22 to pick from, we'll have 19 to pick from come, you know, the first competitive game. But all the lads can do is keep putting themselves in the window. And like Charlie Ennis second half, he probably was frustrated with, you know, the lads that he was out there with. We couldn't get the ball moving as quick as we couldn't. But what he did, he left an impression by tenacity, work rate. He got round breaking play up and, you know, something different in his game. But he still knows he's got a lot of competition in front of him, so he's got to do something. And if we get that can rub off on everyone, then we're going to be pleased with it. Now we've got a tough 48 hours in Jersey, yes, because we're taking a small squad, and you know that's gonna be tough on the legs. That
just before we talk about the Jersey trip, just one last question about tonight. Jan Palinkas having to deal with Ben Wharton, obviously in a competitive match, you go red card for Wharton, please. However, that's pretty handy. What has happened to Palinkas tonight? Because it was like a kind of whoa, what's this? He's going to have to deal with that every week in the NPL, isn't he?
He comes across a lot of Ben Whartons in the NPL, and you know I don't mind Ben putting his arm across his face and you know roughing him up a little bit. That's what Jan's going to learn from stepping up from academy football to Withenshaw and now back at FC United, and he's going to get a lot more of that. Even worse, you know, if he comes up across centre forwards in our league, so you've got to just man up and get used to it. And I've just said that to him, but he's not a shrinking violet. He likes a challenge. He's going to be a good player. You've seen, you know, in patches over the last 4 games, he's going to be a real addition to this side. But like I said, them 4 have got to scrap it out for the centre-half pairing shirt, and you know whoever gets it will get it. But they know that they can't have an off day because they'll have 2 breathing down the neck, so which is what you want.
Now, we could have named everyone on this squad tonight. It's been a great evening. But Jersey next, back-to-back games. What are you looking to get out of this weekend?
We are struggling for a squad. We're missing 7 or 8 key experienced players that we're not going to take with us, including, you know, Andy Halls, James Vincent, Chris Taylor, Atal. There's 7 or 8 experienced bodies missing. But listen, it's 2 games of football, and it gives an opportunity for some lads who haven't had as many minutes. So they've got to step up. We're playing Cray Wanderers, who are going to be a fantastic side. So are they going to be good enough to be around the NPL this season? And that's the kind of carrot that they're going to need. You know, so you're not going to have that bowls of experience in the middle of the park. You might have to go with 2 younger lads, but they've got to go and do it and prove to the players and the staff and the fans that are travelling out there, they're good enough to play in the shirt. And then come the Sunday, you know, either a 3rd, 4th place playoff or a final, you know, they've got to dust it down and go again. So a lot of rehydration on the Saturday night to go again on the Sunday, and then they can have a little bit of a, you know, get together on the Sunday night. We travel home Monday, and then we're back at it Wednesday for the Sam Harding Memorial game.
Yes, well, Neil, safe journey to the Channel Islands. Best of luck in those 2 matches, and we'll speak again at Ashton Athletic next Wednesday.
Brilliant. Just a quick word, how did the TV crew do tonight, the players?
They were very good. It's something, seriously, that when players say are out, if you felt comfortable with it and they did, then it's something we'd be good to do again.
They both said what a difference it is watching it on the TV screen up here than it is actually playing the game. So, you know, that's a learning curve, and definitely something we'll look into. I know from the football side, the analysis side, yeah, is what we'll look into.
And obviously they're seeing things that they wouldn't normally see in the game. It's like Charlie watched the first half, and he's got a different perspective on it there from what he would normally do if he'd sat down there.
We just needed him to push forward slightly. He could have made history tonight and be the first ever TV commentator to actually commentate and then score. We'll have to make do with just take a throw in down there. But Neil, thanks, best guys. Of luck this weekend. Cheers. And thanks for joining us.
FC Live there from Tuesday evening. Let's head to the Channel Islands now and to the Bulls Cup. And on Saturday afternoon, FC United took on Cray Wanderers in the semi-finals. And let's have all the action now with thanks to Jersey Bulls YouTube channel.
And Clunis on that far side now. He's got some pace down the right wing, looking for some support. In the middle is Skipper Cook, and it's whipped in. Derry's the target. Falls to the edge, but it's to no man's land. A United now break. McCarthy. Oh, he's done well there. McCarthy on goal. McCarthy, he scores! What a goal there from Max McCarthy. Beautiful control. Just took it on. Kept at his feet. Took the shot, and no chance for Rowley in the Cray goal. Well, we've needed something in this game. It's been a little bit slow to get going, but all of a sudden, McCarthy bursts on. He's their target man, the number 11. He gets a really good touch on it. Takes it to the box, shoots, and makes no mistake. And FC United take an early lead here. Plays it up, looking for Linney, who's trying to... has he got in there? Just nearly. Good coverage in the end by Bentley, who does well. And here it comes now, and a shot. Oh, what a goal from McCarthy. Well, he didn't really have much. He just picked it up on the edge of the box. He looked up, and he curled it into the bottom left-hand corner. And Rowley, well beaten there. What a little finish by McCarthy. He's had two chances in this game, and he's converted both. Ball falls to him on the edge of the box. He just takes one touch and pulls that trigger. Bang. Back of the net. 2-0. Well, it has been coming. United have just been in the ascendancy. And McCarthy now has a brace. One either side of half-time. United 2-0 up. And you might think cruising at this stage. The Reds starting to dominate here. Corner comes in. Oh, header at the back post. It's in. And it's 3-0. FC United at the far post. It looks like it's that man, Jones. Curtis Jones, who gets on the score. He made his way into at the back post. He was unmarked. Really good delivery there. And 3-0. And that, you would say, is game, set and match to FC United. Can't really see Cray coming back from this. Third goal has probably killed off any chance of them getting anything out of this. And it looks like the two sides wearing red, the Bulls and FC United of Manchester, will be tomorrow's opponents in the final.
So a 3-0 victory for FC United on Saturday afternoon, setting up that final game against the host Jersey Bulls on Sunday. Let's go back to the Jersey Bulls commentary team now with all the action.
Here come United again, looking for route one. And down that side is Wallerton, and he's got support in the middle there with McGee, who's made his way in. McCarthy's in there. Ball's square, but the Bulls clear it. Oh, taking his time. A little bit too much there, maybe. John Le Cain gives it away. United again, and oh, it looks like... Is it another penalty? Well, it has been given another penalty, a foul on McCarthy, but was he outside the box? It's one of those very much borderline decisions here. Will he go the same way? Well, let's see. Can Van der Vliet pull out another save? No, not this time. He goes the same way. Ennis. Van der Vliet goes to his left. Ennis picks the spot to his right. And FC United take the lead. Well, it's been all square, really, apart from the penalties. A couple of fouls given away, which the referee judges to be enough to point to the spot on two occasions. And FC United are 1-0 to the good. And they just look to build again from the back. Palinkas and McGee combining them. Ball through now. And it's Linney, and there's no offside flag. And Linney's on goal. Here comes Van der Vliet, and they score. Well, an easy ball into the middle there. And it's McCarthy who finishes it. His third goal in two games. Symbol there. Linney breaks free, beats the offside trap. And it's FC United 2, Jersey Bulls 0. And that was McCarthy with the easiest tap-in. Scored two absolute crackers yesterday, but that was easy. And he scores United's second in the 19th minute. Another long ball looking for McCarthy. Well, he does win it, and he's set Linney free here. Now Linney's got a chance. Looks like McGee marauding forward. McGee's there. He's coming all the way, and he's... Oh, and it's in! Well, in the end, it was simple. But nobody challenged McGee at the bar post, and nobody was prepared to tackle Linney. And you kind of feel maybe that the two penalties given away already meant that the challenge was something that wasn't on the minds of the Bulls defenders. And as a result, it's really a walked-in goal by Linney, who probably could have scored himself, and in the end just squares it. And McGee makes it 3-0. Ennis now plays it up. Again, United breaking. They're through again. It's McGee this time. Van der Vliet's edge of the box. Oh, and McGee walks past Van der Vliet, who slips, it looks like. He goes round to his left. The goal is open. And it's 4-0 to FC United. Well, it's starting to be a bit of a one-way street all of a sudden. Two quick goals in succession. A little bit of a mistake there by the Bulls. Not by McGee. He gets his second. And it's now Jersey Bulls 0, FC United of Manchester 4. Definitely a more open game than we saw earlier today. Playing a much wider way than two sides before have played particularly narrow. And here comes the ball forward. It's Feleke Mamati, and Curtis Jones is there. Jones was strong in that challenge. Had the height advantage there over Feleke Mamati and made it pay. Well, now it's Bickley. He's got a Prince inside. Bickley comes inside. Bickley's fouled. And it's going to be a penalty. And it is. Lorne Bickley is brought down. It looks like it's Curtis Jones the culprit there. Well, the referee has given now the Bulls a chance to get one back. Definitely a foul on Lorne Bickley. He's gone down. He's hopefully not too hurt. He's definitely won the penalty. And it looks like Mendes will step forward to take it. Well, well done, Lorne Bickley there. Strong again. Mistake at the back by FC United. Bickley gets the ball. Gets a bit of a knock in the process. Hopefully he'll be okay. Just a little bit of treat, maybe a bit of magic sponge required. But Mendes now with the penalty. Steps up. And he scores. Well, he's found the bottom right-hand corner. Keeper Lavican went the right way, but Mendes picked his spot beautifully and placed it right into the back of the net. Keeper going the right way, but no chance of stopping that one. And all of a sudden, 4-0 is 4-1. Well, is that the comeback of all time here, potentially, from the Bulls? And now the long ball over the top here. Le Cain is under pressure. Linney's got it down at his feet. Linney's coming into the goal, and he scores! Well, it didn't look like it was going to be anything else than a goal there from Regan Linney. The ball comes to him. He judged it well. He had the pace. He went past Johnny Le Cain, and then he just brought it down, took his shot, and Ewan van der Vliet is well beaten. And that is probably all over Red Rover here for the Reds of United of Manchester. FC United taking a 5-1 lead now. Oh, space here for McGee, and he's got Wallerton to his left, and he finds him first time. McGee goes towards the centre. Here comes Wallerton. Good defensive work by Johnny Le Cain, though. And then Daryl Mavalo picks it up, but he's got pressure, and then Humphreys gets it, and here comes Linney, and he shoots. It falls now to McGee, and it's there! Well, a good save by Van der Vliet, but unfortunately the rebound falls to the feet of McGee, and McGee has completed his hat-trick, and he has made the score 6-1. Well, that has been the real difference here today. Every chance, it seems, that FC United have got, they have converted. Apart from the penalty early on in the first half, they've been ruthless in front of goal. Harry McGee on 77 completes a fine hat-trick for him, capping off a fine performance from FC United of Manchester.
So a 6-1 victory for FC United on Sunday in the final of the Bulls Cup against Jersey Bulls. And a big thank you to Jersey Bulls YouTube channel there for that piece of audio. Let's have some post-match reaction now. Here's Chantel speaking with FC United manager Neil Reynolds shortly after the final whistle.
That was a win today, 6-1, very comfortable, and we're the inaugural Bulls Cup winners.
Yeah, firstly, thank you to Jersey for putting on a wonderful tournament. And thank you to hashtag and Craig Wanderers for kind of making up the quartet. It's been brilliant. Second thank you goes to the fans that have travelled out here. I thought they were immaculate from start to finish, and you know, it just amazes me. Wherever we play, whatever we do, they're right behind us. And thirdly, just a big thank you to the staff and players that have travelled out here. We've given a really good account of ourselves. Delighted to win another bit of silverware. And that's, you know, kind of the halfway point in our pre-season programme now. It's been a, you know, tough weekend for all conditions. Obviously, the weather's been red hot, but the lads haven't changed their attitude. They've been super meticulous with everything they've done. And I'm just delighted for everyone at the club that we've got another trophy and, you know, we can enjoy our night tonight.
And a special shout-out to Harry McGee, who got man of the match. That was his first hat-trick.
What I can say to players is leave an impression on me. And Harry McGee is a wonderful talent. And his work rate, his energy, his enthusiasm, he's everything. But you can see what a good player he is. His goals today were outstanding. Even though Linney's assists were just as good. But it wasn't just about him. You know, it's about everybody. I thought there was been some amazing performances across 2 days. Charlie Ennis, Curtis Jones, to name a couple. But it's just been a squad effort, a real squad effort. You know, when I say squad effort, a team effort. And the team comes from the fans, the owners and the players and the staff. We're all in this together and we're going to enjoy this together. Hope we have a drink with the fans tonight and then we can get home, rehydrate, recuperate and get ready for the Sam Harding Memorial Trophy on Wednesday.
Chantel there speaking with Neil Reynolds after that brilliant victory against Jersey in the final of the Bulls Cup. And we started this show off saying, oh, we'll speak to Woodsell, wrap this show in a nice little bow to discuss how the weekend went. Well, here he is now down the other end of the line in Jersey in the Channel Islands, where no doubt it's sunnier than it is here in Manchester. It's a welcome back to Woodsell. Hello, Woodsell, how are you?
Hello, well, very good, very hot and bothered.
We should say we're recording this on Monday morning. You've got a flight booked this afternoon, so big thank you for joining us before that flight. Let's start off with the semi-final against Cray Wanderers, a 3-0 victory there. Is that when McCarthy's arrived, do you think? I mean, that was brilliant from him, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he scored 2 good goals. I mean, I've only seen his first one back on YouTube, actually, because I was just going getting some water before I melted. But his second goal, where he curled it from the edge of the box, was... Yeah. But he led the line really well. I mean, he showed the glimpses in the game or two that he played at Broadhurst Park, and he certainly built on that this weekend. But, you know, there's been a good few performances. I mean, we didn't really know what to expect. We did comment, it was almost reminiscent of the Warrington and Matlock games last year. There was a bit of a, we were in control. There was a bit of a coming together of players. And then we lost control for 5 minutes or so, 10 minutes, and let them back in. But yeah, it was fairly comfortable in the end, really. Like I said, 2 good goals from Max McArthur, you know, but the midfield in both games were outstanding. Ennis, Woolerton and Murray all played, and then and McGee in the final all played fantastically.
I know you missed the first goal, but you have watched it back on YouTube.
I've watched it back.
Yeah, Jersey Bulls TV, by the way, on YouTube. Look it up. Max McCarthy's goal, his first goal, was another level. And I'm very, very excited now. I mean, we saw him on Tuesday night against Bury, and he was impressive in that game. But it was kind of an unselfish role he was playing, you know, up front on his own. Here, he was playing up front on his own in the semi-final, but added to it with 2 fantastic goals. McCarthy there, something definitely to look forward to for the coming season, that's for sure. Just to touch upon the final then, 6-1 victory over Jersey Bulls. And we should say, Harry McGee, who scored a hat-trick in this game and was obviously one man of the match as well, I'm right in saying in pre-season, Woodsell, in the games we've seen, he's kind of been under the radar a bit. And this is Harry McGee basically putting a marker down, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he also won play the tournament, which was a bit off, I thought, because he only came on as a sub in the first game. But that's not doing him down. He's got a really... I mean, his first goal was a tappy. He went around the keeper for the second one, and he fired it in towards the end for the third one. He did have a very, very good game. Again, going back into that little midfield area, he was playing the number 10, but he was quite wide, actually, on the right-hand side quite often as well. And he linked up very, very well. I've got to say, the Jersey Bulls team made it, in that first half especially, very, very easy. They were almost... they were almost defending in the harbour. They were that high up the pitch. And all we had to do was stay onside. And we were through every single time. I didn't think we were winning 6-1. And the missed penalty as well.
Charlie did make amends, didn't he? He did score a penalty in the game. But just to say, where are the goals coming from, Woodso? Or should we not get too excited at this point?
I think we shouldn't. I don't think we should get too excited. I mean, Cray were a big side. I mean, when their players turned up, we said, oh, because obviously we knew we had a little bit of a, I wouldn't say depleted squad, but it was certainly supplemented with academy players. You know, Jack Bennett, Toby Humphreys, with that. And we saw their lads turn up on Saturday and thought, oh, we might be in trouble here because these are a big team, but we had no problems with it. So, yeah, I mean, you know, looking at that, and like you said, there was 9 goals scored in 2 games, 1 penalty conceded. I mean, Dan Lavican pulled off 2 or 3 good saves. We could have conceded more goals, but I mean, you know, let's proceed with caution. It's looking fairly, I'd say, you know, on the basis of this weekend, it's looking decent for the season, but, you know, it's one thing playing Jersey Bulls in 35, you know, 30-degree temperatures. It's Tuesday night at Liversidge, to coin the cliche, isn't it? Yeah. You know, they're the gamers. But, you know, it's looking good so far, yes.
Great stuff. And just a thought on the tournament overall. Second piece of silverware this summer. It's been quite a haul so far, hasn't it? Obviously, this tournament was scheduled for last season, but obviously, because of COVID, it didn't happen, so it's rearranged. Ideally, I'm going to suggest, based on the fact we went to Rimini only a month or so ago, we wouldn't have played this tournament, but actually, it's transpired. It's probably been okay. And do you get the sense that it's just adding to that momentum now and, you know, team bonding, team spirit and fitness and that side of things? Do you think it's added as we head towards Ashton Athletic on Wednesday and Doncaster on Saturday?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, you can see young lads who might not have been around the first team squad that often have had a chance to come away with some of the first team. Newer lads obviously getting used to getting to know the, you know, some of the old lads better. And, you know, I've got to give a lot of credit to the Jersey Bulls and the organisation over here. It's been fantastic. We're really welcoming. You know, we left the bar about an hour or so after the final whistle last night, maybe a bit later, and a fella came over to us and thanked us all for travelling, and you know, we really appreciated and this and, you know, and it's just been a nice welcome. So, you know, give full credit to them. And, you know, we go for the treble on Wednesday.
Yeah, so just a reminder, Wednesday night, this game at Broxteeds Park in the Sam Harding Memorial Trophy at Ashton Athletic against FC United. If you can't make the game, though, me and Woodso will be there and hopefully won't be too hot and we'll have a nice evening in Ashton and Makersfield. And then on Saturday, it's back at Broadhurst Park, FC United taking on Doncaster Rovers. Be there if you can make it, 3 o'clock kickoff, but we'll have full commentary on Saturday as well. But Woodso, big thank you for joining us this week on This Club Is My Club. Have a safe journey back, and we'll catch up again on Wednesday.
I will see you on Wednesday. Thank you very much.
A big thank you, Woodso, for joining us. And that's it for this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. Have a lovely week, and you'll be hearing from us again very soon. Bye-bye.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.